Finding this podcast magical? Why not toss a coin to your Witches and a Druid podcast through the Acast supporter feature? It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to show your support now.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Three Witches and a Druid podcast, a Canadian podcast about paganism in today's modern society.
Shining through, no ambition, only foolish pride, nothing left now to pursue. The arc of justice, it will pass you by. Till there's nothing left to lose. Light a candle when the dream dies, because you never got to choose. See it shining like the sun, falling like the rain. It has only just begun. Feel the pain, feel the pain. Colors bleeding from the other side. The other world is calling you, in the place where time and space collide. Nothing left for you to do. The door is open, there's no place to hide. Still, there's nothing left to lose. Light a candle and then step inside. See your soul come shine through. See it shining like the sun. Falling like the rain. It has only just begun. Feel the pain, feel the pain.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Three Witches and a Druid, where we sit around our sort of altar, our recording altar,
our coffee table with various drinks,
and talk about our modern lives as witches and druids and pagans in the modern world. I'm Margo.
And I'm Maeve.
Gwen.
And I'm Brian. So yeah, this is another part of our series about tools. And we did an episode on the Wheel of the Year, and tonight we're going to talk about the altar. Now, we're going to talk about the items that go on the altar a little bit, but we'll probably have a deeper episode about each of those tools down the road. Tonight's episode is mostly about the altar itself. So when we first brought this up, Maeve had sort of said, well, what, are we talking about the actual table? And I said, kind of, yes.
No, I don't know, my brain was doing something, and I thought, well, is it made of glass? Is it made of wood? Is it made of, what's it made of? I wasn't thinking about the whole overview. But the one thing I do have to say, and it just came to me as Brian was talking here about altars, is when I was a brand new witch 30 years ago, and, you know, I'm learning about, you know, all the elements and this and all of that. One day I looked around my apartment and I went, wait a minute. And I didn't even realize I had done it.
Subconsciously.
It was before I even had gotten into it and found out much about elements or anything. There were four little different spots in the main area of my apartment. And it's like, oh my goodness, these are all fire symbols. Oh my goodness, these are all air symbols. Earth, water. And I had, without even realizing what I was doing, without knowing anything about it, because they'd been there for a couple of years, I had set up four little altars in my house and I had no idea I'd done it.
To the elements. That. Isn't that interesting? Because I find I am more likely to have like those little tables or shelves having something from every element on
it.
They'll
balance,
have a candle, yes. And then they'll have maybe a plant, and then, you know, all of those sorts of things. And so everything represented on each little tabletop without it being aesthetic, I thought.
You consciously doing it, just happened. Oh,
no.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I had forgotten about that.
Yeah.
I had one. It's like, oh, look, there's that phoenix and that phoenix picture thing right there, and that's all fire. And over here I had some feathery things or whatever. And I'm look at this. And I didn't even realize it.
Yeah. No, I had one of our mentors here one time, and Ray Gabriel looked around and she went, every surface is like an altar. And I went, oop. Yeah. So they were never clued in there.
I think most of our houses are like that.
Yeah.
Consciously or unconsciously, my house is like that now.
In our home, we have an altar. Inside of our home, we have an altar to our ancestors. Mm-hmm. And on that is photos of family, various trinkets and tools we've collected over the years, and they stay on that altar. In my workshop, I have an altar to Lou, made out of raw materials. Everything is handmade. That's a very particular place. Nothing plastic would ever enter there. It's all stuff I make, even the incense I make. And then outdoors, we have an altar to the nature spirits of the land of our new property. Lovely. Which is mostly consisting of peanut shells and bird seed at the moment. It needs to be cleaned up.
Very good.
Like, so do you guys have altars in your homes?
I don't keep anything set up. I do. That's not true. When I'm organized, I do have one set up in my bedroom.
Okay.
Usually, but I have a lot of people in and out of my house, so I'm not going to be laying out pentagrams and athames and things like that in the common areas. That's just because I've had many people who are very strong in other faiths that might get up, you know, and that's just not something I do. But no, how can I say, my good altar tools I keep on a shelf, and I get them out when I want them. But if you look around, it's like, oh, look, there's this and this. I don't have something deliberate, but many of those things are all around my house anyway. You know, pictures of your ancestors look, I have all these rocks here and I have all these shells here, but it's not a consciously laid out.
I have one in my kitchen.
Yeah.
That Michelle gave us all a little shelf at one point years ago, years and years ago, that I put up above my stove in my kitchen. So I have a corn husk doll on there and some inspirational cards that I've been given over the years. And I think I've got like a little pewter scallop shell with salt in it and a wishbone from something.
Yeah. Your cat didn't jump up and take it.
No, she doesn't bother.
That would have been in someone's mouth.
Yeah.
So fast. And mine, some cat. That would have been in some cat's mouth so fast. But now that we're talking about it, your living room here, Gwen, like the whole living room's an altar.
An altar kind of is,
I guess.
But when you are living a spiritual life and you see these things that are beautiful, even if they're found objects. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are some of my favorite objects, are found objects.
Oh, yes.
That you want them in your life. You want to be able to see them. Why pack them away and hide them? And to surround yourself with these magical objects, even if they didn't come into your life with any inherent magic attached to them necessarily. But as you admire them, I think, as you connect with them, as you appreciate them and enjoy them, their magic energy just grows and grows and grows. Mm-hmm. And you want to keep them around you more. They make you happy. They maybe give you energy, mm-hmm. help you carry on with your day, or help you then calm down at the end of your day, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, it's like, holy cow, my whole living room.
Yeah.
It's like a giant, I'm sitting in the middle of a giant altar. I have a lot of statues too.
You
I
do.
Collect yeah. a lot of statues.
It doesn't need to have pentagrams all over the place, and every altar is unique and different in its own way. I'm big into thrifting. Like any of the things that go on our altar are often thrifted or used in some way from the past. We don't really buy new things for it. Does that make sense?
It has to be, for me, truly exceptional or locally crafted. If I didn't make it, then I need to have a relationship or want to have a relationship with a crafter, like built,
yep.
like with their work or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, very often it's thrifted. My kitchen altar over the stove, same sort of thing, thrifted elements. But again, something from all of the Four Directions sort of thing, the elements. Then I have like an ancestor one upstairs. My living room is, yeah, it's very easy. I have certain things for the little table here that I pack away because it's used for other things, but they're just in a drawer over there sort of thing. But yeah. All my surfaces are pretty much focal points for spiritual. Yeah.
Yeah, in your home, if it's not an altar, it's a bookshelf.
Yeah, very, yeah. very much. I think yeah, that's fair.
That, yes, that is. There's a lot of book in, yeah. my, yes. in my house, too.
Yeah.
I've been told that's called druid insulation.
Yes.
Yeah.
My wife, Karen, calls it, I'm a dragon. Like it, yeah. I don't necessarily read all the books. I like to hoard all
your
books.
Yeah, you're hoarding, like your treasure.
Druid yeah. insulation. That's yeah, a good way to look at it.
Bales of hay, I guess.
Oh, they're dual purpose anyway.
Dual purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you jokingly said, well, what can we talk about the altar? Is it glass? Is it wood? But I think even the design of an altar might affect its function. You may be like some of us that have altars that are multi-purpose. Maybe your altar has a drawer underneath where you tuck all your things. So you're using, mm-hmm. at one point I used a little dresser and I stored all my stuff in the dresser and mm-hmm. I used the top as the altar top. But if I wanted something seasonal or something, you know, I could pull that out. So the design could affect it. And I even think maybe what it's made of affects it as well.
Yeah, it depends on the feel you're going for. Like yeah. most of my altars are wood because I appreciate yeah. wood. But I can envision like an all-glass altar of clear and having the ability to transport you, like meditation-wise, to a different plane, to a
yeah.
different place.
Yeah, exactly. Or if you're Hellenic or something, like Hephaestus would be in your pantheon, or maybe Bridget or something, you have a wrought iron
yeah. table. Yes, or a little metal table of some sort.
Yes,
because that's a great conductor of energy.
Exactly.
Well, I still have the little table that actually came out of Junk and Foibles, I think, when I worked there. It's a little low table that it's probably just plasterboard on the top, but it's got metal legs. Mm. And that's what we often used when right. we did circles at my old apartment on South Street. Mm. Thinking about that altar too and how low it is, I'm thinking, you know, might be time for something a little higher.
Yeah.
I would it's like one of those standing desks.
Yes.
Like when it's standing yeah. altar, it just raises.
And I would like to say on behalf of someone who has no problem getting things from the Dollarama, if you don't have a surface And at Walmart, there's a $7.99 plastic folding, you know, sort of little coffee table thing that you put on your deck, you know, between, you know, to put a drink on between your lawn chairs. Don't be ashamed.
No, anything works.
Little plastic that you can fold up, put in the closet, maybe have children, maybe you don't want your family to know what you're up to or your neighbors. You want to just have something you can pop up quick? Don't be afraid of that either. You put a little scarf over it and your
But don't be afraid to go to Mission Mart and see if you can find one of those tin, like, old-school TV trays from the 70s.
Oh, those... Do you know what? My very first coven, they had, like you would see in the 50s, 60s, 70s, their altar was one of those tables that went beside the couch, but it was two-leveled. You know, the lamp went on the top, and then the books went under. And I have always kept my eye out for one that was in good shape, because I would love to have the old two-level altar again. Because sometimes you end up whacking things together, or if you're being fancy and you got the big sleeves, or... catching something off fire, whatever the hell that might be. Or if you put a statue on, you got to be careful about knocking it over. I'd love to have that, one of those from, like, you know, the 70s.
That's enough. Well, there's a Yule gift idea in my brain now.
That's right.
He might have it.
And he went to Vine Valley Village.
Or over to Hand in Hand. I have been sort of kept my eye open for one, but oftentimes they're rickety.
Well, the unfortunate thing is, in that generation, a lot of that was, it was presswood.
Yeah.
And it just didn't last.
Yeah. It didn't last. But I've always wanted one of those.
So I'm big on the thrifting, but even if you were to get it from the dollar store or a flea market or any of those things, I do think it would be a good idea before you put it into service as an altar to do a cleanse.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Anything I've...
Yeah, especially anything you thrift.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I still have... from, like I say, whenever Dollarama came into being a long time ago, pushing 30 years now, I still have the little votive candle holders, the little votives that you put the tea light in, and I have the four colors.
I have lost air. It somewhere in some move, somewhere, I have three of them.
And I keep looking for them to come back and or show up in thrift store or something.
Yeah.
I agree.
Sometimes you see them, they look like the little glow, they'll have the candle in, they put them for on your patio, and they will have the four colors. Mm. I'm not against that.
No.
Then once the candle's burned out, you clean it out, and you could just put a tea light.
Yeah.
Had those, but those are well used over the past 25 or more years. So they're totally magical now.
Nothing.
Yeah. They started out from the Dollarama. They're glass and everything. So, but they're well
So what used. Are some of the tools we're going to talk about in future episodes that go on your altar? We won't get too deep into these tonight, but what are some things that you may consider having around your altar?
Ooh, your athame, your pentagram, a goblet, if you've got a cauldron, you know, your candles, those sorts of things.
Yeah. I have a wand on mine. Yeah. It's made from an apple tree from a property we lived on. It's nothing fancy. It's a little sanded piece of wood, but feels so nice in the hand.
Yeah.
It has a perfect, like, curve at the end.
And we'll also talk about, if you do not have these things, but you wish to set up an altar, there's easy substitution.
Oh, yes, 100%.
I actually, when you're talking about locally made, remember, Margot, Plum Orchard Pottery?
I have my pentagram.
I have pentagram and my chalice is Plum Orchard Pottery.
That's my chalice is made by another local ceramicist.
Yeah, so that's nice. My mother bought me that chalice.
Wow.
I think she bought it through you.
Probably.
Oh, did she talk to Vanessa? I forget. It's a long time ago. It has a chip in it now.
But that's okay.
My morning mug is a mug from Lily with the Owen on it. And that goes on our altar. Karen and I each have one now.
Nice.
Yeah, my chalice is not from Lily either. It's from somebody else.
We also have our three goats on our altar.
I was going to ask you about your goats.
Yeah. So when Karen and I got married, the joke was for me to propose to Karen, her family had to pay me a dowry of one goat. I don't remember how this joke started. It was between me and her father. And anyway, one of her family members found a toy goat, and they put it in my hand, and that's the day I proposed to Karen. So we went out and we found, like, a mom goat, a dad goat, and then when we had Atticus, we found the baby goat, and that's how we announced that Atticus's birth. We posted a photo of the three goats, and some people were like, I don't get it. And then other people were like, oh my God, you're having a baby.
Isn't that cute, the goats?
Yeah.
That is not a joke, because I used the teacher woman from the Sudan, and the man who married her gave her father 100 camels. Because there it wasn't, you know, the bride gives the money. It was the man had to give the family. 100 camels they got.
Wow. That seems like a lot of camels.
Yes.
She was valued by her
family. She was. But here's the interesting thing, just where from where they were from, she'd never been to school in her life. Well, the man had to... at least two wives, so he had lots of camels. And I said, well, what if a man is poor and he can't afford to give the family a camel or whatever, or chicken or fabrics or whatever? He says, well, then he has to go away and make enough money to pay for his bride to the family, or he doesn't get married. I'm thinking that's when the woman stealing happens. But that's another story. So we're going to continue in the future with the different types of altar tools we'll be talking about. And I'm looking very forward to that. And we'd like to thank all of you for tuning in. I'm always just amazed that you're all listening and so grateful. It's really wonderful to be part of this. And if you have any questions or comments, you can get a hold of us through Instagram or Facebook. And if you have any suggestions for shows, we're always looking for ideas.
Hello, beloved listeners and patrons of Three Witches and a Druid podcast. We would like to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude for your unwavering support of our podcast. With your encouragement, we have been able to explore and celebrate the rich and diverse world of paganism and spirituality. We feel blessed to have had the opportunity to share our knowledge and experiences with you. As we continue to grow and evolve, we invite you to join us on this journey and become a Patreon member of our podcast. Your contribution will help us to continue creating quality content and provide you with more exciting episodes filled with wisdom, insights, and a little enchantment. By becoming a Patreon member, you will not only support our mission, but you will also have access to exclusive content, behind-the-scenes goodies, discounts, and much, much more. Together, we can create a thriving and supportive community. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being a part of our Three Witches and a Druid family.
So until next time, everybody, merry meet.
Merry part.
And merry meet again.
Blessed be.
This has been Three Witches and a Druid podcast. Thanks for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.